Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The biggest breaking news stories, an outspoken opinion. The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Good morning to you. Thank you so much indeed for your company. Lots to talk about and, I think things to celebrate. Yes, yes, Brexit, still something to celebrate. Although, probably not for those working at the IMF who've been angry at us ever since. Hello, Christine Lagarde, if you're watching. Unlikely, I realise, but nevertheless. We are, of course, seeing this really damning report from the IMF today, which is suggesting that, well, things are going very, very badly indeed with the UK economy. The UK economy is going to fare worse than any other country in the developed world this year, including Russia, bearing in mind we've got major economic sanctions on Russia at the current time. This is going to be happening, seeing a contraction of 0.6% in 2023, despite the fact that all the other major economies are not expected to contract and are expected to grow. However, it is important to point out that the IMF forecasts are nearly always wrong. I mean, they just are. It is a simple matter of fact. And actually, UK has actually outperformed pretty much every IMF forecast. However, it's not a good morning to wake up to for the Prime Minister or the Chancellor. And certainly also their predictions for 2024 not looking very good at all either. 0.6% contraction this year and only 0.9% growth in 2024. Of course, that's the year we're expected to see the next general election. Well, we're going to be talking to top economic analysts about that and politicians throughout the show. First up, though, let's talk to Conservative commentator Benedict Spence. Are you a top economic or political analyst? I'm trying to decide which box I'll put you into.
I mean, I'm not going to get into what my A-level economics was. I don't think that anybody wants to hear that on air. So let's go political because I struggle to count.
Because the politics of this does matter. Look, one of the key things to remember with forecasts is forecasts are always wrong. I mean, yeah. They are the you know, whether it's the Office of Budget Responsibility here, the Treasury, whether it's the IMF or OECD, whoever it is who's doing forecasts, the one thing you know for sure, it's not just me saying that top forecasts, they're never right. They're just a forecast. They tend to revise their forecasts, even what they think is going to happen this year or that year. They tend to revise these things within a few months. We have outperformed various forecasts that we have had in recent years. And there's no doubt at all the UK economy is quite out of sync with other world economies. We came out of lockdown sooner. Mm. We were growing when other economies were not growing. Mm. But now we're doing badly when other economies are doing better.
Yeah.
This, we're told, is down to various things that the government has done by the IMF.
Oh, those dastardly politicians.
Yes, those dastardly politicians. But basically, blaming this on high energy prices and high inflation. High inflation down a lot to the fact that we're importing a lot of gas.
Yeah.
You'll be seeing where I'm going with this on the net zero issue, guys. But also tightening of monetary policy, so the Bank of England raising interest rates and mortgages going up and all of that. Mm. And also, of course, there's a little bit of let's put the knife in on Brexit.
Yeah. I mean, of course, Brexit has to be in everything. It is always at the heart of every sort of crisis and every issue is Brexit, which, there is some truth in that because we haven't made the most of the Brexit opportunities because we have a government that probably doesn't really believe in it and a civil service that doesn't really believe in it. And we still have thousands. It has thousands of EU laws still on the statute books and says, oh, it's going to take a bit of time to get rid of some of these because we're not really capable of doing our jobs. So obviously there's always going to be a bit of that involved as well. As you say, though, it is just a forecast. And, you know, economic forecasts are worse than almost any other kind of forecast, frankly. You know, I think South Park once did a joke about them where they, you know, the economists at the World Bank or something sacrificed a chicken and threw it onto a roulette wheel to see where it landed to decide what their advice was going to be. That's basically what it is.
Good a way as any.
Yes, it's rune reading for half of the time. And it's, you know... It's also entirely at the whim of outside events that economists have no control over at all, like one country invading another country. I mean, you know, you can say, you know, we're going to have a worse time than Russia. Well, Russia still has lots of very vital things that it exports to the rest of the world that aren't sanctioning it, which we don't, because we are a net importer of things.
But, oil and gas prices as a result of the Ukraine war have gone up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if you're a major exporter of oil and gas...
Gazprom have had a great war. Yeah. That's the thing to remember. Also, the Norwegian Sovereign Wealth Fund has had a great time.
Exactly.
This.
And this is the thing also. One of the reasons why we are affected, well, our economy is massively affected, is this huge inflation, which just cuts, you know, damages every economy and hurts everybody. But they state this is due to our high reliance on liquid natural gas imports. Now, there are two issues. One is we should have been fracking, so we wouldn't have to import so much liquefied natural gas from America and elsewhere, Qatar.
Yep.
But we could have also been upping our production in North Sea, bearing in mind the Labour Party policy. Tories aren't much better on this, but Labour Party policy is to allow no new licences for any more exploration of oil and gas in the North Sea. I mean, can anyone work out how that's going to end up? But one of the main reasons why liquefied natural gas has gone up is because of these sanctions on Russia, decision by a country, but also because we are competing with other major world economies, particularly Germany, who've been importing all their gas from Russia.
Yeah.
So even though we actually import... We would normally import much less, you know, not as much, certainly nothing like what they're relying on. The price of liquefied natural gas has gone up exponentially because of Germany's need to get it and other European nations, and therefore they pushed up our prices. So even though we weren't relying on Russian gas, the fact that they were has caused a problem for us. Interest rates, now, how much of that... I mean, I think everyone who's got a mortgage has noticed that in recent months. How much of that is down to Kwasi Kwarteng and Liz Truss and their announcements? And how much of that is just we were always going to see interest rates going back up again? They've gone up in America. Liz Truss wasn't Prime Minister of America.
I think Liz Truss's brief and unhappy tenure merely expedited the process. They were going to go up at some point and it just happened to come in a slightly nastier, sharper way than people would have anticipated. But we have been, as it were, living beyond our means for a long time. Yeah. They were underpriced in. And, you know, this is the result, I'm afraid, of decades of bad policy. You know, you want to talk about, you know, the increase in cost of natural gas. Well, you know, this energy policy at large, we've been talking about for a very long time on this show. And it goes back to things like investment in nuclear and, as you say, drilling in the North Sea. You know, I mentioned Norway just then. They're exploring new oil fields at a time when the world is supposed to be going to net zero and green. Yeah. You know, most oil exporters are still looking for those raw materials because they understand, they appreciate that those are the fundamental bedrocks, no pun intended, of how you run your economy. You know, and you can link it back to all sorts of other things, house building, whatever it is you want. There will at its core be a decades-long government policy at its heart that has contributed to this reason. One of the very few things, actually, one of the things that's had the least effect, relatively, probably, is Brexit. Brexit is actually a very difficult thing to quantify.
Yeah.
It hasn't really been in effect for a very long time.
It would be easier to quantify 3 years on, happy Brexit Day, everybody. It would be easier to quantify if it hadn't been that we exited and then promptly, well, we had the transition period.
If we diverge.
The 31st of December, 11 p.m, 31st of December, 2020, so right in the middle of COVID and lockdowns and all of that, we then saw the end of the transition period. So it is impossible to quantify what happened to, you know, your Polish imported workers and what happens to the economy and the cost for businesses, given that... most of the European economy was completely shut down at that time.
Well, exactly. You have to add the pandemic into the equation, and you get bizarre takes. You do hear people saying that Brexit's caused more damage to the economy than the pandemic. And you think, how on earth are you able to stack that up? And people
look at, for example.
Well, of course, but lots of people seem to believe it. But the Polish thing as well, lots of people turn around and say, oh, all of these European workers have left because of Brexit. And you think, it has nothing to do with the fact that the Polish economy is outgrowing the rest of its European competitors at a rate of knots, and these Polish migrants can now afford to have very good lives over there. Oh, it has nothing to do with
that
at all.
But also, people, as we saw in Britain, people went home.
Yeah.
When crises like that happen, people
home,
go back to their
They were closer to
homes.
Their family. There were jobs, it turned out, and they were happy in their home country. Yeah. Quelle surprise.
Yeah, exactly. It is going to be fascinating because you know that Brexit is going to be the thing that people are going to be talking about. And if people genuinely... when someone says that Brexit is the reason why our economy isn't growing this year, they are a dishonest actor. It is simple. And the reality is the IMF is a political body.
Mm.
It is. It's run by Christy Lagarde, who is virulently anti... there's quite a lot of reasons why Christine Lagarde shouldn't be in that job. But anyway, I don't know how many people with criminal convictions we think should be in those sort of jobs, really. Just throwing that out there. That's French politics for you. But we are in a situation where, you know, the people who run this are they're the globalists, the internationalists, pro-EU, pro-technocratic government decisions. So of course they'd have hated, like, you know, the Liz Trusses and the Boris Johnsons and for all their faults, you know, they were elected. You know, they were. They always love an opportunity to put the boot in, and they have been wrong many times before. The only bit of good news in this, by the way, is that their predictions from the IMF for the world economy are actually now much better. They had predicted that this, well, one of the predictions only a couple of months ago was this sort of worldwide slump. I think a third of the economy was going to be in recession. And again, that has a massive impact, ability to buy exports and the like as well. The fact that they changed their view within a matter of months on the other countries.
Well, a lot of that is because actually the war in Ukraine hasn't quite gone as it was expected, and also because the Chinese property market hasn't collapsed as it was expected.
Also because China decided, Xi Jinping dropped his zero COVID policy.
Yeah, they decided to reopen, and actually they haven't had quite as many fatalities as they expected, although you can never trust the figures when they come out of China. But their economy doesn't seem to be struggling as much. It still is struggling, but not as much as people would have expected it to. So, again, lots of reasons, lots of interconnected reasons why things never quite go the way that economists boldly predict.
Maybe we shouldn't even bother with the forecast anymore. But anyway, there is a reaction from the Chancellor, Jeremy Hunt. Of course, it's all rather predictable.
The Breakfast Briefing with Julia Hartley Brewer on Talk Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Julia Hartley Brewer Daily. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe and give me a good review. And don't forget to catch me on the Talk Radio Breakfast Show every weekday from 6:30 until 10.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.